Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. We're talking some hoops, so buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. 5 seconds
left in the game. Do you believe in miracles? Yes! High fly ball to right field. She is gone!
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it.
Bases loaded. Two out. Hard hit into right. Back at the wall. Tie game.
John Cena.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch your free throws, because they have free. So it's 333 coming hot at you guys. And so 332. And I'm joined on this one by Alex Gossman, Eric Kasopoulos, and Nikki Snacks Kreider. And we got a quick one for you guys today. Some awesome fan questions coming up in the works for everybody. Basketball. We're almost there in the playoffs. Different playoff this year. We kind of saw it last year, but now we're doing a play-in tournament. Question number one from Donzie Flume, our boy in San Antonio. Will the play-in tournament be a boom or bust? Well, just so you know how the play-in tournament works, 7 plays 8, and the winner of that game is the 7 seed. Then the loser plays the winner of 9 versus 10, and the winner of that game is the 8 seed. That's how the play-in tournament works. It's a little convoluted, but there's more games and more matchups, which is pretty exciting. We're very close. We have, some teams have like less than 5 games left as we sit here and chat right now. We're going to Nick and I, this is a recording Wednesday night, we're going to Lakers versus Rockets, and the Lakers are one of the teams that's in the play-in game right now. They sit a game behind the Mavs and the Blazers. So in the Western Conference, we have the Blazers at 10, the Mavs at 6. They are both tied with the same record. Lakers are a game back.
Blazers at 5.
Blazers at 5. Yes, sorry. Mavs at 6. Lakers at 7. A game back. Warriors, 8. Grizzlies, 9. Spurs, 10. So right now, as it stands, Lakers play the Warriors. We have LeBron versus Steph. Then you have Ja taking on the San Antonio Spurs in the Western Conference. In the Eastern Conference, you have my lowly Celtics as a 7 seed playing LaMelo Ball's back in the Hornets. Then you have the 9 seed Pacers versus the 10 seed Wizards. They had a great duel the other day. I think the way the matchups stand right now, it should be exciting. You saw LeBron come out and complain maybe a week ago. And I think that's just because his team's in the playing game. For all intents and purposes, I know it's like, hey, everyone get a trophy. Hey, everyone gets to participate. But I think it's going to be exciting basketball. It's just extra basketball. What kind of fan wouldn't want that? There's no, I don't think it could flop, really.
The playing game, yeah. The 7 seed and the 8 seed play, right? Is that what you said?
Yes, correct.
So the loser of that game, though, gets to play the winner of the other game, right?
2 lives, correct.
But so they get 2 lives, but the 9 and the 10 get 1 life, right?
That's
right.
Correct, yes. Okay.
Sudden I like death. It. I think it's cool. I mean, it's sudden death for, those other teams. And I think it adds to the intensity. It's kind of more of like a structure that I guess baseball has for the wild card. And mm-hmm. then also, you know, with football, obviously you get 1 week to get it done, 1 game to get it done. So I like the intensity. So I think it'll boom.
Yeah. I think it's one of those sports. It's now that you bring up baseball, obviously you have March Madness and everyone knows football is 1 and done. It's really the last major sport that's not implemented a 1 and done element. Well, there's hockey, which we don't necessarily cover on the Charity Stripe podcast. But it's the last one to not implement that. In my mind, there's no way it can really flop. Toss.
There's just more opportunity for games. There's, I don't think it's going to flop.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's more basketball, especially if we get to see more Steph Curry. We all love it, but for the Lakers, it's not that bad. I mean, you take care of business, you're the seventh seed, exactly what you thought you were. So you just got to go and do your thing. Same thing with the Celtics, right? And it's just, it adds a little bit more spice for the 9 and 10 seed to jump in there potentially. And I think those teams are all really, really close. They're all deserving of a spot. And what better way than to duke it out over the play-in tourney? I think it's good. And I don't think it's too overwhelming for them to play these type of games before getting to their first playoff matchup, if they get there.
Well, hey, if you're the seventh seed, you got a quick tune-up game. Like the Lakers go, you take care of business against a good Warriors team, get that tune-up game against a good team. Like it worked for UCLA in March Madness. They got that game against Michigan State and were able to take it all the way.
Yeah, a bad Warriors team and Steph, but yeah, I get your point.
Hey, Wiggins have 40 the other night. But yeah, I think there's no way this thing flops. I'm excited to see the matchups. I kind of hope the Lakers, I want LeBron to win, you know, or go as deep as possible. It's exciting for the history of the game, but I need to see something new. I just need to see, I'm pulling for the Suns and Jazz so hard right now. Speaking of the Jazz kind of, and the Suns a little bit, maybe, I don't know, from Hajir in New Jersey, top five centers in the NBA today. Top five centers. In our graphic coming out today, we have Embiid qualifying as a forward for the first team all NBA, but I think we could lob him in here with the centers. I would say, just to throw it out, I would probably go Jokic at the one of guys I would want in order. I would probably want Jokic, then Embiid, then Bam, then Gobert. And is it crazy to say Capella is my five?
It's not. Mm-hmm. It's not crazy. That fifth spot is like, it's kind of up to debate, right?
Yeah. You want to throw DeAndre Ayton in there?
I'd probably say Ayton myself at five. Yeah. But I think you have the four down perfectly.
Vooch?
Yeah. I mean, I think Vooch is
probably is the five
right now, better than both Clint Capella and DeAndre Ayton. And just to circle back on what you said about Embiid, the only reason why we have Embiid as in the all NBA team, the only reason why we have him as a forward is because that's an NBA rule. They've clarified.
It's not us playing games.
Right. We're not just messing around. Like, they've clarified that Jokic and Embiid can both be forward/centers. They're both centers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have, is that fair though? Jokic first, then Embiid?
Yeah. Yeah. If Jokic is going to win MVP, how can you not put him first?
Can AD classify his center?
AD? Or then we just go in bigs then? I mean, I think if we could.
Well, I'm asking if he can classify as a center.
I would classify him as a power forward. I mean, they play him alongside, like, you guys are about to go watch him play alongside Andre Drummond, who to me is a center.
Yeah.
Say,
unfortunately, AD.
AD's like a 4-5.
Yeah. AD's like a 4-5, and Embiid's like a 5-4. I still think it's
kind of. When he was in New Orleans, though,
I still think it's a stretch.
He was the 5 in New Orleans.
Yes. Yeah, but there was Boogie Cousins was there too at one point.
I think a lot of people consider Karl-Anthony Towns a 5, so you know, you could put him ahead of Jokic, ahead of Vucevic. Sorry,
I always forget.
I'm ahead of Jokic.
They're close though.
Yeah, I mean, Kat, it's just, we haven't seen. He's just back to back seasons been in and out of the lineup. Look, he's probably ahead of Vooch. Kat's probably the 5 there. Right as it stands right now, I still would take Bam Adebayo over Karl-Anthony Towns.
Yeah, I mean, best availability. Best ability is availability. Sorry.
Yeah, that's true. He's put up like a good case for defensive player of the year.
Absolutely. Bam is quietly having his best season of the year. And obviously he passes the ball really well for a big man. And that's something that you need in your toolbox as a big in the NBA today.
Yeah. His raw athleticism is just absolutely phenomenal. But yeah, I think that's we've kind of hit everybody with Ayton. It's good to see that Ayton's kind of the next guy in though. Just like
that's an easy position to break down.
Center? Yeah. Comparatively
to, like, I think the point guard role, and I mean, obviously the forwards are probably the hardest, but
yeah. If we're lumping all the forwards together, then it's tough. If we're lumping the power forwards together, again, if we're throwing AD in there, to me it's Giannis, AD, Zion, Sabonis, or Randall Sabonis. I think it's, I honestly almost have an easier time in some respects to that because the Cat Vooch situation is a little tight right now. Cat at his best could, for all intents and purposes, be number three at the center spot. He's just in and out of the lineup too often. So these other guys have had a chance to kind of grow their game. I mean, look, we shout out Capella, who probably isn't in that top five of centers, but he's, you know, capable. And honestly, you probably throw money on him getting 14 plus boards a night, which is just huge.
Yeah. He's all team do his job. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like he does what you need him to do. He's a rim running big. He grabs rebounds. He blocks shots at the rim and he finishes when he's within 5 feet. So
yeah.
That's what you want him to do. Other guys, shout out, that are not in the top five, not really close, but like have had good seasons. Chris Boucher, Daniel Gafford.
Yeah, Gafford has been a revelation, a huge pickup for the Wizards, honestly. I would love to see our boy Jared Allen kind of take that next step. Just Cleveland is so desolate. It's just a desolate spot. You know, I think shady pick to kind of take that next step into the top 10 for me is going to be Wendell Carter.
He was having a good year before he got hurt is Christian Wood.
Yeah, he's another big. I mean, we may see him tonight, Nick. Who knows who we're going to see in this Lakers-Rockets game.
Yeah.
The Rockets are 16-53. Can you believe that?
Yes, I can. Their roster is really bad.
The roster's terrible. They're depleted. Depleted and a half. Who retools faster, them or the Thunder? Quick gut check.
Thunder.
Easy. Yeah, easy. I agree with Nick, the Thunder. The amount of picks that they can turn those into two good players right now, if they needed to, they're not going to. I mean, they want to hit in the draft, obviously. But I just think that you can't pass on that draft capital compared to what the Rockets have. I think the Rockets have fortunately kind of struck gold with some of the guys that they do have on their roster that are young, like a guy like Kevin Porter Jr. Like,
I think the Thunder have too, though.
I think the Thunder have struck gold with Shai Gilgeous. I mean, they knew what they were getting when
Lou Dort is definitely a diamond. He was a diamond in the rough, but like Kevin Porter Jr., he was passed on. He was supposed to be a guy that was maybe just going to live out the rest of his days in the G League or be the end of the bench scorer kind of guy. And now he might be their next guy. Jay Sean Tate has been fantastic. So has Kenyon Martin Jr., Kenyon Martin's son, longtime NBA vet. He's really popped off. I mean, they've gotten like a lot of good minutes out of guys that you before the season were like, who are these guys? They might not even sniff the court.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Not that I'm thrilled about those guys on my roster, but bright spots in their dark, dark season.
The darkest. I guess the Harden situation was so up in the air. A healthy John Wall and a healthy James Harden, like at their fullest, would have been exciting basketball. It's just like another what if in the NBA. Speaking of what ifs, kind of not really. Jackson in Canada wants to know, what's the hardest title to win? He says it's a PGA championship. It's the hardest title to win. Now, I want to throw this out there. I started the F1 series on Netflix.
Hear good things about it.
Great things. Shout out to Cody Stroll, friend of mine from college. Nick, you're in a fantasy baseball league with him.
I knew him before I knew you.
You knew him? Yeah, it's plausible. Honestly,
I met him freshman year.
Yeah, Nick and I didn't meet till we were seniors. Go seniors. Anyway, that's our
Cody Stroll moment.
It's a big Cody Show moment in the Cherry Stripe. Shout out to his family. He recommended the series, been up my ass about it. Started it last night with our buddy Big G, former guest of the Stripe. And I may say, like, winning like some kind of Grand Prix, like one of those races, one of those major races, is like impossible because you could be, I mean, I guess the best drivers drive for the best cars, but not to spoil too much of the series, like beating Ferrari and beating Mercedes is like impossible.
Yeah.
Because of the money there's no regulation. The amount of money you have, you can just pour it into the car. So the companies with more money can get the bigger and better cars.
I only know what I've seen from Ford versus Ferrari, the movie with Christian Bale and Matt Damon, which is a great picture, but seemed like it was a pretty tall feat to, beat Team Ferrari with Team Ford because they just have so much money to pour in those cars. And it's really all they care about. Ford is more of a company that cares about quantity over quality, right? Manufacturing cars in the United States.
It was like a worksman car.
Right. Exactly. But Ferrari is more of a luxury performance car. And so, yeah, they've got so much money to put. And those cars are millions of dollars.
reminds me of matchbox car racing that people used to do where, you know, they'd have their dad build them a little mini car.
Hot Wheels.
Not Hot Wheels. No,
the matchbox. And you like get in this, like it's like a little kid size. Like you get
like
in.
It'd be like a wooden version, basically. Oh. You'd like hand make it, craft it.
Oh, you guys are good dads. My dad sucks.
Well, no, well, that's my thing is like my dad, who's probably listening to this right now, could not have been a worksmith and made those cars. But maybe someone else's dad works with steel or something like that as a metal worker and puts together this sleek, fast car.
Well, that's what that, well, this one guy, you see a glimpse of this guy, Daniel Ricciardo, who at the time, I guess in season one, was driving for Red Bull. His father put together a car for him. And that's how he started as a kid. I was always like, Dale Earnhardt Jr., I get that. But how did the rest of these fuckers start doing driving? Like, what, you know, at what point are you like, you know, is it like, hey, I crushed my road test and like, you know what, screw it. Let's just dip out of high school and start racing in the South. Like, at what point?
A lot of those kids start probably getting behind the wheel at age like 12 or 13. Their parents are like, all right, like, we'll let you go like in a parking lot or like, we'll take you to like the boonies and go out and, because a lot of those kids probably do like races for, you know, motocross or like IndyCar
go-karts, like, right?
Go-karts. Yeah. Where you can do it at a younger age too. So
that's what it looked like. It looked like they were doing like these like little go-kart races and that's how he was getting acclimated to driving on the track. Cause it's not like, obviously it's not like driving a regular car.
Right.
I mean, there's a gas and brake, but other than that, but those race, that to me looks like one of the hardest things to win. Just kind of,
I agree with you. It's definitely up there. I'm curious. Does he think the PGA Championship is harder to win than the Masters? I mean, what makes it harder? You know,
the thing about the PGA Championship in comparison to the Masters or the Open is that it's a different course every single time.
It's true.
So you don't have the luxury if you've played the course before being like, I know how to play hole 13 at Augusta because I played it 4 times.
Yeah. Right.
It's very true.
That's true.
You get that switch up. And then I'll throw up tennis just for the sole purpose of there's just like an upper echelon of dominant tennis players. So to break into that top 3 or 4, it seems, is so brutal. To break into that top 3 or 4 swimmers when there's one guy one guy or girl at their peak. There's just always in the Olympic type sports or the individual type sports, it's very rare. I mean, at least from, you know, just kind of first glance that there it's really up in the air ever. It's always one individual athlete is just consistently dominating.
I got one for you.
Yeah, please.
World Series of Poker. That's got to be the hardest one to win. Because when you enter the World Series of Poker in Las Vegas, you're going up against thousands of people. And the cards aren't coming your way. They're not coming your way. There's nothing you can do about that. A lot of luck.
If the good guys are playing the bad guys, if the really, really high skill level players are playing lower skill level, they can beat them
right
in a round of poker with whatever they're given.
The higher skilled guys make it pretty far, but there's still an aspect of luck. I mean, if you're going up against thousands of people, there's probably a few hundred of them that are really, really skilled, probably even more than that.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a lot of guys who've won multiple World Series of Pokers.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm looking it up now.
I know.
I mean, if we consider that a sport, I guess. I mean, it's what we see on ESPN because it's covered every year on ESPN. But that's the only reason why it's considered sporting, you know.
I'm looking at it right now to see bracelet leaders by decade. In the 2010s, Michael Mizrachi won in 2010, 2011, 2012, 2018, and 2019, won 5 times.
Phil He's Ivey won it all. 10. He got first place in all of them.
World Series of Poker bracelet. Yep.
Phil Ivey has 10.
Yeah, Phil Ivey has 10. He won 7. Well,
that's
times.
Pretty wild.
I mean,
that's wild.
Yeah, you would think. I mean, there's just guys that are just so good. I mean, like, but Lewis Hamilton's won since like 2010. I think he's won like 7 times. He's won it all. I mean, he's, you know, in F1. Usually those upper echelon people are just so tough to beat. Whereas kind of in like the American sports, I guess you can get lucky. But even then, we see like LeBron in it every year.
Yeah. What's the easiest championship to win?
I mean, it's got to be football just because there's so many players on a team. If you're talking about from an individual level, you know, if you're on a 53-man roster.
The likelihood is up.
Right.
I would say the easiest
March Madness.
You can get lucky. You can get individual awards. It's tough, but you could kind of get lucky and win the Cy Young. We've seen that. I've seen that. It's like MVP is a bit tougher. You really got to be a good baseball player to win MVP.
Can you get lucky to win the Cy Young though? You have to have a dominant season.
But how many randos have we seen win it like in the past few years? Like Keuchel was random as hell. Purcello, R.A.
I wouldn't
Dickey.
Say that was random. I mean, they're good pitchers. They're like, you know,
they're
number
good.
Two.
They're twos, three. Purcello's like not even on a roster and he can't even make a roster. He had like one good year. Now it happened to win the Cy Young. You could get you could catch lightning in a bottle and win the Cy Young is my point. Like R.A. Dickey, come on. He was incredible. You know, you have to be like, obviously there's guys like Scherzer and Mad Max, you know, who are just so, and DeGrom are so super dominant. But we see, I feel like we see, you know, every now and then just guys kind of catch lightning in a bottle and then pull off that magical season.
Yeah.
The Cy Young.
Good question.
Yeah, really good question. How kind of in the same vein, Jake and Austin wants to know, hardest position in sports, he kind of cheated a little bit here and said NFL head coach. I think that's A, funny, B, not a terrible answer, and C, but definitely don't agree. I could stick in the NFL.
It's
I could
like
say,
name a number between 1 and 10. Okay, 13.
Yeah. It's like 0. Like, all right, like, come on. Fun question, though. I would say hardest position in sports. I would probably say it has to be probably a quarterback. At the end of the day, in professional, I mean, the worst position is closer or kicker or like the fourth man in an Olympic relay, like something where the pressure is just stupid high and like so you wouldn't even want to deal with it. But quarterback through and through, you just have such a major handle on the game.
Yeah, I mean, I think the quarterback definitely has the most responsibility of any position in any sport just because they got to learn their own playbook, they've got to learn the defensive schemes, they're always in the film room, you know, taking notes. Studying, I think it was Peyton Manning who like knew every single player on the other side of like the ball when it came to defense, like where they went to high school, like where they went to college, who they were. Like he studied everybody, so it's a lot of it has to do with like off the field stuff too, just having your mind prepared. But in terms of like physicality and like actually being sound at your position, I mean, catcher's pretty difficult. I feel like.
All the catcher or goalie type of positions.
Yeah. Well, although I was thinking about hockey goalie, but like every now and then you hear about that like backup, that like emergency goalie that drives like a Zamboni that comes in and like saves the day. I'm like, if an average Zamboni driver can do it, how hard can it really be? You know, I mean, I know those guys are probably great at hockey and you're getting like pucks flown at you at hundreds of miles an hour, but I think that potentially cornerback, defensive back could be the hardest position.
It's unforgiving. It's a terrible. I don't know why people do that. You have to be sick in the head to be some kind of cornerback. Honestly, it looks terrible.
I think with a lot of these things that are really difficult, in particular a cornerback, it's as we've talked about in those draft episodes, the wide receivers are only going to get better and better,
right?
More athletic, faster on the outside, great at the press,
jump higher, they're getting bigger.
It's impossible. It's an impossible job.
Well, it's also like
especially with penalties too. Like, you can't touch them.
The guy, and plus, like the guys who play corner and receiver are kind of similar, like in athletic ability at least, in stature. And which one are you going to pick? You're going to pick wide receiver, the glory position, catching touchdowns, or are you going to pick cornerback on defense?
Well, there's always that joke in football where it's like, that's why you play defensive back because you can't catch, right? Like, if you can't catch but you're like athletic, you play corner. But I just think that position is like one of the biggest positions in all of sports that your odds are stacked against you in every aspect.
Yeah. And the way the game is being played, like we're saying, it only gets harder. There's just more and more. There's the slot guys and the slants are so tough to cover. Like being a slot corner was like, you know, you didn't have it. You didn't really have that. It was like every other, maybe every once in a while you were like a nickel set. Now a lot of teams come out of the gate three corners. You need to have that three corner. You need to have that slot man. I mean, like now guys are making a major living on it, getting high draft picks because of it.
Because everyone has weapons.
And the big guys are lining up in the slot.
Yeah. I do want to touch on the goalie thing a little bit more.
Soccer goalie would be hard as hell.
It would be Soccer goalie?
That'd be so hard.
Yeah.
Soccer goalie is hard, but I would say personally it feels like a hockey goalie is harder because you might take 40 shots in a game and like you dictate a soccer goalie might only see 3 shots on goal in a game.
Yeah, I would say physicality, hockey goalie is tougher, but like mentally, like the pressure of a nation or the pressure of like a Premier League team or like, but like the mental pressure is like tough.
And like going up against a guy like Messi or Ronaldo or Neymar, like any of those guys who just can sling it right at your face.
But and you're also protecting. Goalies have to take Connor McDavid coming right at them.
Yeah, but your goal is so much bigger too in soccer.
Yeah, the ball's not coming at 115 miles an hour, though.
Yeah, and that puck is slight.
Flying.
Yeah, it's little too.
But you could also just like take it off the dome or take it to the chest and you're fine.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're very similar, obviously. You're playing basically the entire – you're playing the exact same position. It's just two different sports. But you, in both sports, have the ability to really, really significantly impact the game.
Oh, yeah.
Because I mean, if you shut out the other team, the chance of you winning is so, so high. It's like
– astronomical.
It's like having DeGrom.
Yeah. Well – so it should be like having DeGrom, right? But unfortunately,
if the Mets bats can come alive,
I don't know how many, to go to your point, Nick, how many pucks you're doming or taking off the chesticles here. That sounds like a rough life. But those are some great questions we had from the fans. Real quick show today. Quick shout out to Russ for breaking Oscar Robertson's all time triple double record, most ever in his career.
Do you guys have any records that you're looking at that mean a lot to you?
Yeah. I need someone to break that home run record so badly.
That's going to be a long time. It's going to be a long time. I would love to see someone break DiMaggio's hit streak. That's talked about as one of the hardest ones in all of sports.
It's impossible.
56 games.
To 30 games is nonsense.
And we rarely see that. Every now and then you see guys at 30 games, you're like, what? That's crazy. Especially with the like how pitchers pitch these days.
How guys swing these days.
Yeah.
Strikeout rates are so much higher.
Exactly.
It's guys don't walk. They're just shooting for the moon. That DiMaggio record is tough. Tough. That's a tough one. That's a good question, Toss.
I mean, I'd love to see another NBA player hit 100 points. I don't know if that's ever going to happen again.
More likely than DiMaggio, I'd say.
I agree.
I mean, in today's modern NBA,
someone
could definitely do it, but I don't think it would mean as much as Wilt's 100 or Kobe's 81.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there's like it's definitely diminished value because of the way the game is played, and it's just
someone hits 17 threes.
Yeah, like we're at 51 points already. It's plausible. That which is complete
quick boring. Math. Nice.
Thank you, bro. It doesn't always go away.
You just started a new trend. You started collecting shoes, right?
I did.
How many you got right now that you're collecting? And what are they?
Me, I got the Harden Future Natural Fives. Are you about to roast me for what I do with my shoes? I knew where this was going.
I'm not gonna roast you. I just want people to keep track of what you get every episode. If you get a new
I personally bought Harden Future Natural Fives, a pair of Kobe's, just the Zooms, just like Laker colors, Spider Adidas issue 2s, in which looks like, you know, just Spider-Man style, and then my mom, because she's a Jewish mother, and I told her I was starting this collection, bought me one pair of shoes, which haven't come in yet.
Nice.
And they are?
They are custom Kyrie 7s.
Nice.
I just
want to let the listeners know what you're getting now. I mean,
do you want to know what I have my eye on?
Fun thing. Sure.
I want the CB Charles Barkley 94 Air Maxes USA colors. I want the Mellow.
Okay. There's going to be a lot, aren't there? You have a wish list.
This is just like 3.
Okay.
The Jordan 1s University Blues, University Colors.
I love that one. Those ones are sick.
Those ones are sick. That's a price point. I think I'm going to try to get the Zion Noahs that drop Friday, and I'm going to try to get the PG5 PlayStation collab at the end of the month.
Got it. And when are you going to start wearing the shoes?
Never.
How absurd is that, folks? He's collecting shoes, but not wearing them.
Maybe like you guys are shitting on me so much. I'm debating whether to just cave and like wear them or like say, fuck y'all and just never wear them.
I kind of understand the aspect of you collecting basketball shoes that are like made for the court. But if you're collecting shoes for style and fashion that aren't supposed to be played with, then you should wear them.
Well, no, these are basketball shoes.
Okay.
I'm not like collecting cowboy boots and just leaving them around. That I wear all the time.
Well, I feel like that would be a little bit more understandable than just collecting basketball shoes, in my opinion.
I think I'm going to be able to work a cool display for them.
Build your own boot barn.
Josh's boot barn.
Yeah. I mean, the idea is that even if you have a display, you're just showing people your shoe collection.
Josh,
I don't know. Shoes are wearable art, in my opinion.
That's a great argument.
Yes, to me, it is.
Sometimes I like doing things for me. Surprisingly.
I feel that. You also have a hat collection, but you wear a lot of those hats. You wear all those hats.
Some of them I don't, though. Some of them I never wear.
Now that I think about it.
To wear.
Would you ever, if you had enough money,
yeah,
would it be a goal of yours to own your own boot barn? Like you own your own boot store. Like this
no,
is.
Just- I would want to own my own hat store. Actually, I've thought of that. That is
like a thrift hat show, like store, you know, where like you know, hat. Yeah, not like Lids, right? Not like a chain.
No, like you know how like. Or just the kind of like some kind of like, I'm really into this shoe thing. I'm so into this shoe thing now. I think the more I'm just like eating up, learning about it more and more every day. And like, I think it's just, you know, just a cool culture. I love retro shit and so in sports. So something along those lines is like a store like that. Like people want to open up restaurants. Like that's,
I could totally see you moving to Austin and owning a boot store.
Well, anything is possible when I move down there.
I think that for your shoe collection, the Barkley one makes sense. The Jordan one makes sense. These are classic shoes. And there is a set amount of them out in the world.
Yeah.
Now, the James Harden ones that you have, I looked at to purchase as my current basketball shoes. And I am not a shoe snob, which means that you can't really have those as part of the collection. That's my pushback.
It's attainable.
If I can go type in basketball shoes in the right. First $115 shoe on the market is one that you have.
Well, right. I like them because they're also part of me collecting them. We'll rock and roll. I want to have one of every player's shoe.
Yeah, but I think there's cooler signature shoes that you can go after that are like more premium drops. You know, like there's on Adidas or Nike, they've got drops where it's like, all right, to get this shoe, you know, there's only like limited stock. You have to join the wait list and you have to join a queue, kind of like NFTs, right? Or like NBA Top Shot, something like that, where it's collectible.
Yeah,
like, that makes sense. But like going,
you
like,
get the Kyrie's,
they're like Dick's Sporting Goods or Foot Locker and like buying a James Harden shoe and they've got like 90 in stock still. Doesn't really make a ton of sense to me.
It's okay. I'm having a starting point. Like not every hat I got at the
time. All right. Well, when you retire the James Harden ones, just give me the shoes so I can play in them.
Nothing's getting retired. I'm.
You guys have the same size.
I just don't want people to see your collection and be like, this is a collection.
They won't.
Trust me. Are you guys the same size?
If they see that shoe, they will. If they see that shoe, they will.
Are you all the same size?
What's our shoe?
It's 10 and a half, 10.
Yeah, we're the same size shoe. I've shown a couple people my shoe collection. Some thought it was heat. Now I'm leaving it lie.
Who? Name them on the pod. Cody Stroll?
No. Shout out to his family. My boy Jesse thought it was hot. We were talking about shoes. We'll both be at the Noah one with the Noah drops for Zion ones. We'll both be at the PG-13 drops for the P5 collab. Schnitzer. All right, I'm done. Our boy Eric.
The guy that collects jean jackets.
Yeah. Well, hey, at least he collects.
He's a sneakerhead for sure.
Any brands you want to shout out today?
Bet Online, obviously, they're the best online sports book out there.
We love them. Nick, anything for you? Or you're good? Just Bet Online as well.
Shout out to everyone's family.
Shout out to everyone's family. And when we say Bet Online,
shout out to my boy Mark Schweitzer, whose birthday it is today, who's taking us to the Laker game. Really nice dude.
I have to go buy like a sign, and I have to go buy a poster from CVS and a marker. That reminds me. I'm going to say happy birthday, Mark Schweitzer, get it into the game, have the marker in the back pocket, then have Nick write in his handwriting, sorry, we banged your mom.
You gonna put it on the back?
No, I'm gonna put it below. I'm gonna have happy birthday, Mark Schweitzer, up top, and then I'm gonna leave a space below. And then when we get there, rip it.
That's gonna be taken away for sure.
We'll see. We're in his boss's.
Does
box.
Nick have
me and my roommate know a guy who went to the because the Raptors are playing in Florida, right?
Yeah.
For the NBA games, they went to a Raptors game. Him and his buddy dressed in like full suits. And wrote it on a sign. We missed prom for the Raptors, and they like got on like the Raptors social media and like their telecast as well. And like I guess the announcers were like, I don't know if those guys were going to prom. They look like they've got a couple of adult beverages in their hands. In the comments on Twitter was like, thank you to the Raptors for stopping these 35 plus year old men from going to some random prom.
Yeah, that's people are great sometimes. Yeah. They're really shitty and terrible on social media, but
it's just so random. It's like this guy is like, it's so random because he just is in Florida. He's like, hey, you want to go to the Raptors game, dress up, put a sign on that says we miss prom for the Raptors.
Yeah,
it worked.
It works. Honestly, it works. Crushed.
It works. So that's what's gonna happen tonight. Hopefully Mark's mom works.
I think the kicker in the sign is sorry we banged Mark's mom. So it sounds like it's more than one person that did it. I think that's hopefully the difference maker. If it was I, it was like, all right, that's like whatever. But if it's like we, it's like, damn.
I think we got to keep it more PG-13 than that. So we can actually, no pun intended. Well, we're not even seeing him play, but but same center. I think we got to keep it more PG-13 though, so we can get viral.
Sorry, we kissed your mom, Mark, on the lips. Still to suggest
work in progress.
No, you,
well, you guys got plenty of time.
Yeah. Cool. Fans out there, drag both feet in bounds, swing on a full count, rip that puck, hit that putt, hit your PKs because they free, and hit your free throws. Why, guys? Because they are free. We out you. We love you.
We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. 5 seconds left.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Rebound box. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game! Gives it to Jenkins for the championship. He's going for the corner. He's got it. Bases loaded. Two out.